He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys.
Good morning to our listeners for this week's show of Car Keys with Mike Flint, Robin Leach, and Jay DeMarkin. We're in midsummer of 2025 when this show was done. I saw a very interesting article about a manufacturer of cars in the world, not in the U.S., and I'm going to bring it up for whatever it's worth for enjoyment and or comment. Jay knows a lot about this company. It's a Chinese company, BYD. And I am reading from something called Best Columns Business. And it starts out as follows. I'm going to quote the article. The world's best electric car can be bought for less than $10,000, said this commentator. Its battery can fully charge in 5 minutes, and its design features, technology, and quality are as good as those of any top car brand, including Tesla. So why can't Americans buy one? Jay can chime in on that, and I can too, but nobody will let BYD come into the U.S. if they could possibly sell an electric car that is declared to be the world's best one for less than $10,000. Of course, it wouldn't be less than $10,000 in the U.S. because of tariffs and stuff, but even if you were to put 100% tariffs on a $10,000 car, what is that? That puts it at $20,000, right, Jay? I don't do the math very well.
I'm not good with math this morning, but I don't know much about BYD. We do know what it stands for, Build Your Dream. And yes, they've overtaken Tesla as the leaders of electric vehicles in China. And they're making inroads in the rest of the world. And no, we will not see one here anytime soon. We've talked about this. They do sell, they've started selling their pickup truck in Mexico. And it's a very competent vehicle. I don't know much about, you know, the technology, but I know they're on the sharp end of the stick. They have cars that can be recharged in 5 minutes. I don't know that it's a $10,000 car or not, but if you read it, I believe it. It's just going to put a lot of pressure on other manufacturers. On a side note, for whatever it's worth, Warren Buffett, through Berkshire Hathaway, was an early investor in this company 10, 15 years ago. I think around 2010 or 2014. I can't remember exactly, but... at one point, Berkshire Hathaway had a 10% stake in the company. It's down now to single digits, 3%, 4%, 5%, something like that, for, legal reasons. But yeah, just very competent company. We will not see it here. I think the only Chinese vehicles we will see here, and quite honestly, I forget the brand, but I know that Waymo's vehicle that they're starting in certain markets is a Chinese produced vehicle, and I read about that a couple of weeks ago, but didn't retain much of that and don't have the info right in front of me.
Okay, I'll jump in a little bit further along in this article. We don't know what model this so-called less than $10,000 Chinese car is. It could be a small compact two-door. It could be, but it's certainly probably not a Tesla Model S or Model Y level car, but maybe it is. The article claims that because they make almost all of its key components in-house, from batteries to semiconductors, motors, tablet screens, all that, which saves a lot of cost from buying from outside companies, it just shows you what's going on around the world outside of our both U.S. development of electric cars and other manufacturers outside of China, all manufacturers of whose electric cars are considerably more expensive than $10,000.
So interestingly, and you will appreciate that, Robin, BYD does not make only electric cars. They have they produce hybrid cars as well. And So I know they've overtaken Tesla in size, as number of cars produced or sold on a yearly
In China.
basis in China.
Right.
And yes, definitely in China. I'm not sure about the rest of the world, but part of those sales are hybrid vehicles. But anyway, speaking of affordable electric vehicles, if we can
Yeah, we
jump.
just jump to that.
I've been getting bombarded on different social media platforms by ads for Slate. And I want to ask Mike if he's already put his $50 down and to pre-order his Slate pickup truck slash SUV. And I'm
Well, I think it's a nice idea and everything. No, I haven't, because I have no intention of purchasing any kind of an electric vehicle at this point.
Come on,
Okay,
this is.
that now I let Mike finish with that. I think he
Oh,
is
that's
known
it.
to
I'm
not.
done. I'm done.
Yeah, he's done.
I have
So
no
I don't think
desire.
we
I
need
think.
to bore our listeners with any more about why not, Mike.
Yeah. No.
Well,
There
Mike
you
has
go.
stated his a fact of his life.
Yeah, and so we talked about Slate a few weeks ago when they started making noise and coming out in the front lines. The company was started in 2022, and Jeff Bezos is behind it. I forget, there are other couple big names. They've secured so far, I think they started without $100 million of money raised, and I think their second round they're looking at $700 million. So that may seem a lot of money, but we'll compare that to the troubles Lucid is going through in a second. But the Slate website is pretty well done, and pretty much explains what you order, even though you have no idea what you're buying, right?
I believe, Jay, that they've secured a site in Indiana, if I remember correctly, to do the
Yes,
manufacturing. So
that
they're
is correct.
serious about what they're doing.
No. Oh, they're absolutely serious. So they have a design center in California, and the engineering is split between California and Michigan. They're based in Detroit. They have a few hundred people working. They've poached engineers and staff
From other companies, yeah.
from other companies, including Tesla. And so they are for real. There's no doubt about it. What I'm saying, you don't know what you're getting into. In this case, I'm talking about the product. The concept is clear. It's bare bones, and then you add the color you want to it by buying a wrap, and wraps will be all sorts of colors and design schemes you can want. I think the wraps will start at something around $500. You can turn the pickup truck into an SUV. You can turn it into an SUV coupe. There are a lot of options. Tech will be limited. So the idea is you're just going to put in your phone, plug in your phone, and that will be all the tech you get. The Slate is slated to be priced around $25,000 starting price. Remember when Tesla was going to be a $30,000 Model 3? Everything is going to be optional. You get the battery pack that will be included will offer I think, 150 mile range. A optional you will be able to get a battery pack that will enable a 240 mile range. It's a single motor, rear wheel drive, so it's pretty basic, and I think that is the way to go. The pickup truck idea, pickup truck slash SUV, compact, affordable, is a great concept. I think I might just put the $50 and see where we go from there, because it ensures that I'll get, emails and updates, and we'll know a little bit more about production. And so I think I may just put the $50 down.
Okay. Do we know when production is going to start on this, or has it started?
From what I read on their website, they will have where are you going to be able to buy one? Where are you going to be able to demo one? They're going to have vehicles tool around the country, and if you sign up and put your $50 down, you will be contacted when they will be driving in and around the countryside in your area, and I guess you'll be able to test drive one. And that is in sometime in 2026. And I don't think there's much more information than that, as far as timeline.
Well, you can keep us informed on that. I'd love to think that the Northwest Connecticut corner from which we broadcast would be, well, maybe if they know that your $50 is there, you'll get targeted as a place to bring the slate so you can actually see it. But I'm afraid I sort of doubt that that might ever happen. We might not be so lucky because they'll probably go to urban areas with greater population, maybe. Jay, you might comment on that.
No, we'll see. I mean, it.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. I mean, interesting concept, interesting vehicle. Mike, you have time to reconsider and put your $50 down. and we can move on.
Okay, you had Lucid in your list.
Right, I was talking about funding of startup electric vehicle companies. Lucid is burning cash like it's going out of style. In 2024, they each car that they sold cost them $300,000 to build and sell. So basically, every car they sell for $100,000, they're losing $200,000. Like, they have
can't
gone
survive
through.
On that, that's for sure.
They're burning cash. The majority stakeholder in Lucid is a Saudi company. And I forget the name of the company. It's a big conglomerate. They have $100 billion available to them. So putting a few more billion dollars is totally doable.
Peanuts.
It may not be peanuts, but it's doable. The question is, at some point, you do have to see returns on the investment, right? And so it'll be interesting to see if the Gravity, which is Lucid's first SUV, is going to be able to at least stop the hemorrhoids,
bleeding.
The bleeding. Yes, and we'll see. Hopefully, it does because it's a great car. If not, maybe somebody out there will you know, some other legacy manufacturer will be out there to purchase it. But
hey, let's go to Rivian. Are they producing the less expensive models yet, Jay? We've been following Rivian too, and Rivians are far more prevalent around our listing area than Lucids are. I know of only one or two Lucids, one of which I have actually seen on our roads, and it comes across the river from from the New York side occasionally to our listing area in Lakeville, Connecticut. And it's owned by a woman who last had, I believe, an electric Toyota Prius. So she went from a Prius to a Lucid.
That is definitely an upgrade.
That is definitely an upgrade. I think I have not personally seen it or ridden in it. A friend of mine has. He says it's over the top, which Lucids are probably, because what are they? There's nothing under what? What is their starting price? $150,000 or something?
No. You can get I drove a Lucid that was a rear wheel drive, single motor, base battery pack, and I think the starting price is around $74,000.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's still a lot of money, but you know, let's put things in perspective. I mean, when the median price of a car is around $42,000 now, I think, you know, it's a lot of money, but it's not crazy compared to other cars. It's a huge car though. It is really a large car. And it's a sedan, which, you know, many people really don't want to buy sedans anymore. I mean, so again, it'll be interesting to see how the Gravity sells, which is their SUV. Speaking of Rivian, we see a lot of them. We see the SUV. We see the truck. The R1T truck is on, I think it's Car and Driver that did a recap of the 10 fastest cars they've driven so far in 2025. And the Rivian truck is on that list. So, and
really?
Robin and I, we've talked about how ridiculously fast electric cars are. And oftentimes unnecessarily so. And obviously, it's a top of the line power package. But still, we're talking, you know, we're talking around 3 seconds, 0 to 60, which is insanely fast, and not necessary. And the slate won't be that fast, by the way. We can pretty much be sure of that. Robin, I wanted to ask you, I saw a couple of articles this week about high miles vehicles and the fact that we're seeing more and more cars. You know, it used to be the 100,000 miles used to be like, it's time to get rid of your car. A milestone. Right? And now we're looking at 200,000 miles. 250,000 miles. So let me start with this. What's the highest miles you've ever done with one of your vehicles? You have so many, of course.
The highest mileage I did with one of my vehicles was 197,000 miles that I put on a 1997 Audi A8 front wheel drive. I had the 3.7 liter V8. It was a front wheel drive only vehicle, and it was fabulous. Nothing ever went wrong with it. And it was traded in against a purchase of a car for another family member back when that was around. But it was a great car. And of course, it was an all aluminum body, so there was never a rust problem with the vehicle. Nothing broke down on it. The windows all worked, the electric windows. The heated seats worked throughout the whole entire car. I don't think I spent, probably other than maybe brakes and tires, anything outlandishly expensive. Nothing like that was ever required for that vehicle.
So, but that was not the same body style as the one you own now.
Yes. No. It was a successor to it. Well, actually, okay. I'm sorry. It was the same body style because the one I own now is a 2001, and it was the original A8 body style, which I loved and still love in comparison to the other later design models that are running around the road now. And of course, they're much more expensive and they're much heavier and all the like, you know, all the technology. But those vehicles, the 97 was really a fabulous vehicle to have had. And it went up to that mileage range before I lost control of it.
You lost control of it? What do you mean by that?
I let it go.
Okay. I thought it went off the road or something.
No. I let it go, but it just, you know, nothing was wrong with it. The interior was still in great shape, the seats, et cetera. So that's my claim to the high mileage car that I've ever had. I have now two that are over 100,000 miles and going strong. One is a Jeep Cherokee and the other is my 2013 Hyundai Sonata, which is at 125,000 miles and climbing. And neither has been an expensive car to maintain beyond the normal warranty periods that come with new cars today, which are nothing compared to the mileage you can put on the new cars today. So that speaks well for, your constant comments about how well, or our constant comments about how well cars are built today. And people need not really get concerned too much about hitting a six-figure mileage thing on the odometer, I think. Yes, you're going to have to put brakes on probably and tires, and depending on what you've got for the car, those are sort of expensive repair replacement requirements that make you want to think, maybe I should get rid of this car and get a new one.
Let's not forget about
technology-wise, I have to say, even though you can buy extended warranties which cover all the technology as well as the functional parts of a car, does not seem to be much of a problem as the cars age, at least not on my group of cars. Well, all the gauges in the technologies that are now no longer sort of, what do I want to say, Jay? They're all on a screen instead of being mechanical. Yeah. Are running just fine, and I haven't had any trouble with radio screens or mileage screens or whatever you can scroll through. You can scroll through a lot of these screens on these newer cars and do a whole lot of customizing of what you want to see in front of you as you drive down the road. You can set directional like compasses. You can set miles, average miles per gallon, average speed, all sorts of things you can set in a menu of options on these screens that come with the new cars today. And the question is, are these screens going to fail and be therefore quite expensive to replace? And that is what extended warranties are making as big sales pitches, presuming that they are going to fail, but they haven't been failing on any of the vehicles I've had, even though it is in the low hundreds, they're not up to 200,000 miles. So we may see what happens in a few years if I have any that stay that long in my fleet.
So speaking of high mileage and maintenance, you know, people, when we think of maintenance, we think of, oil changes, spark plugs, fluids, brakes, tires. And a lot of times people forget about shocks. And I know I've mentioned this before, but a car with old shocks you lose a lot of the car's handling capability, and also the ride and the comfort, takes a toll. In the last few days, two of my friends who own Miatas have both said, oh yeah, and they're, one is in pristine shape. The other one is a drivable car, mechanically sound, but that's about it. But both of them need shocks, and the cars are sagging, and both are sagging on the left side, on the driver's side, because those cars are driven oftentimes by a single driver, and the cars are like tilted to the left. And
that's a very curious observation by the drivers, and maybe it's even visible to people following the cars down the road. I must say, I have not seen that kind of tilt.
I mean, it's not
vehicles.
It's not like those Lincoln Continentals, the ones with the airbags that used to go bad, and you'd see these Lincoln Continentals in the 90s.
Exactly.
Go down the road at like a 30-degree angle, that was kind of fun.
The bags have failed.
That was typical of those cars. They did not reach 200,000 miles with those airbags. So don't forget about shocks. I have one car that I have to consider putting shocks on. It's in good shape. It's got 125,000 or 126,000 miles. It's time for new shocks. And I can feel it. And then I have a car with...
It's interesting, Jay, to interject, because I've got three Jeep Cherokees that I'm personally familiar with. And the one that's my oldest one is the 2014, is the one that's over, it's 117,000 miles, I think, now. I have not, to my knowledge or my capability of feeling something, noticed a significant decline in the shock absorber control of the oldest Jeep, which I am quite impressed with, that I have not seen a decline in shock capability. We'll see how much longer it goes before that comes. But shocks, the old way of testing vehicles in the older cars was lean on the hood side or the back side and try to bounce the car up and down. And if it doesn't stop bouncing in one sort of cycle, they doesn't need new shocks. But if it just bounces up and down, like there's no control at all, the shocks are shot and should be replaced immediately.
With modern cars, if you can at all push it down, you probably need new shocks.
Okay, if you can all push it down, that may be true.
Yeah. I mean...
Okay. You had a couple more things on your list that you sent me. I don't know whether we've covered all of them or not, but
a couple of things I was reading about, bits and pieces here and there.
Summer traffic, exotic cars.
Exotic cars. I was just reading about, Labor Day weekend. We know it's a big historic festival here at Lime Rock
in that corner,
but there's also the car fa- um, what is it called the uh, car show at in Monterey, California, which is by far the most, over the top exotic car
show.
And I was reading about a few of the cars that are going to be offered for sale there at auction, and the prices are just will make
insane.
Your head. Yeah, absolutely. And a few, there's a special Ferrari F40. The F40 is one of the, probably the coolest Ferraris wow. ever made. It's a late 1980s. There are a few in Connecticut, actually. If you check the tax roll in Greenwich, I think there are five F40s registered in Greenwich, Connecticut, and they go for like $3.5 million. Interestingly, there is an auction by the federal government, some bankruptcy, and there's one coming up for auction that if you have a few million dollars, people may want to follow. I'm not sure. I won't be because I don't have the $3.5 million to put
in the car. Understandable, Jay.
You understand that? Okay.
Yes,
but go right ahead.
Let's talk about road work on around our northwest corner. And it's interesting to see what's happening between village of Lakeville and the Sharon line, or in the Sharon with Route 41. Yes. I do not know where they've completed because I've been away.
If you're coming from Sharon and going into Lakeville, and the road feels smooth and it looks perfect and they've drawn the new lines, don't let that fool you. As you get into Lakeville, there will be these little studs sticking out of the
manhole road. Manhole covers, Jay.
And they're sticking up. The very small ones. The very small ones that are like about 8 inches in diameter.
Those are water covers. Those are water pipe accesses.
The ones. Joints.
Big ones are sewer lines.
The joins into driveways and stuff are still ridges. As I understand it, they've still got one more coat to put on there, but they're not going to do that right away. They're going to be coming back. They started putting signs up for this whole project back in April, and here we are in August, and they're still not done with it. Plus, I've been told, I can't confirm this, that it was supposed to go all the way to the clock tower, but for some reason they don't have enough money to do it.
Well, let's go with that as we run down our timeline.
All right, yeah.
I said before, and I want our listeners to test it out on their own, Jay DeMarkin especially, the road to Millerton is just deteriorating. I think within I heard once that the paving was supposed to be guaranteed for 2 years, but I think Route 44 pavement between the lights at Lakeville to the Millerton line are an abortion failing. It is very bumpy. There are cavities obviously happening underneath the pavement on the right side of most of the lanes. And in the middle of the driving lanes, which you don't necessarily put your tires on, they are splitting. And I just am appalled at the lack of durability of that particular roadway since it was paved, I think, not more than 2 years ago.
Okay, gentlemen, I'm going to have to put an end to this. I want to remind people real quickly, we're getting up on school time, so bone up on the idea of school buses being back on the road here in the next couple of weeks. So,
well, they are already out test driving with new drivers,
exactly,
I think, because they've been on the road all summer.
They're going to have kids on them here in the next couple of weeks, so you want to be ready and know what to do when you run up to a school bus. Maybe next week we can address that in some detail.
Until then, we are Car Keys with Jay, Robin, and Mike.
Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin is produced at the facilities of WHDD 91.9 FM, RobinHoodRadio.com, Sharon, Connecticut.